Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Milan Yurkovich and your phone calls today here on New Life Live.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. Just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well with children.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two of my favorite people, Milan Yurkovich. Hello, Milan.
Well, I'm glad I fit into that category.
Well, you baptized me in the Jordan River. I mean, does it get any better than that?
I was delighted to do that.
Thank you. Well, it does get better than that because I got to baptize Madeline. And also Dr. Sherry Denham, and you were baptized.
I did. Yeah. Milan baptized me, too. I've been showing my picture to everyone. And you know what's kind of cool? There was this light that was coming. It was like the magic hour when we got baptized.
Yeah.
But there was this lovely light that was coming down when I was raising my arms.
Yeah,
up
that
in
was
the
a
sky.
Cute picture of you.
I know. I was like excited.
Pretty cool.
God was good. That was an amazing.
God was
time.
Good. Let me ask you this: was God ever not good? Like in the Old Testament, when He was, is the Old Testament different than the New Testament? I mean, God wiped out cities and. I don't know. What do you say to people?
I'm gonna say to you what you say to people on the radio all the time.
Okay.
Now, what's your question? Because you just asked me too.
Is God
good and does the same things
God
the Old Testament
of the
New
Old
Testament,
Testament angry and the God of the New Testament's not angry?
Well, look at the Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And you're gonna see worse than anything you'd ever see in the Old Testament. And it's not an issue of angry; it's an issue of God's justice.
Mm-hmm.
And so God was different in the way He dealt with Israel, and the driving out the people of the Promised Land, and also the covenants. If you behave a certain way, I'll bless you, and if you behave another way, I won't bless you. You can repent and turn around, and then I'll re-bless you. But there was a God who was very heavy-handed with the unrighteous people that the people of Israel dispossess the land.
And if those people were never going to become righteous, then He was wiping out people that were never, ever going to be the children of God. But the children got to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just kind of a weird thing. Their children went to heaven versus being raised by these
heathen. Children of
that
the people
died.
That
when
that
he wiped
died.
It out. Boy, children go to heaven.
Now you're going way. See, you're getting way over my head. I mean, that's pretty.
Don't you think though?
Well,
they're not age accountability.
Yeah, I would. I could understand why you'd say that. I just never thought of that before.
I mean, when you see some of these little terrorists, kids with guns, and they're 8 years old and stuff like that. That little guy would go to heaven, maybe.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And so, you know. But to answer your original question, is God different? I don't know. What do you think, Sherry?
Is God different? You know, I was kind of tracking with you when you said the just. God is holy and just. And, you know, whether Jesus walks into the temple and turns over the tables.
Angry is that?
That's angry. That's saying, this is my Father's house.
Yeah.
Do not do this here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, what is that? Is that anger? But it's anger. It's justified. It's righteous anger, you know?
Yeah.
And that's very different than how a lot of people perceive God. I think a lot of people have a mixed up view of God, and they do see Him as angry and punishing. And that's not the God that I know. I don't see Him as angry and punishing, like I want to hurt you.
Right.
You know.
However, He will punish sin, and the Bible says that the earth is judged, and that's why we need a Savior.
Right. But we need a Savior. He's still a Redeemer.
Right.
He is a Redeemer underneath all that justice.
But not everybody accepts the Savior.
I know.
So they have to face the judgment.
Yep.
But those little children go to heaven. Hey, we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to or watching New Life Live.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Dee from Ojai. Listens on KDAR. Hello, Dee. Welcome to New Life Live. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help you today?
I'll just start out with my question first.
Okay.
Should I, or how do I, confront my pastor about wanting to leave the church?
You want to leave the church, or he wants to leave the church?
I want to.
And why do you want to leave the church?
Well, he had given my husband and I some marital counseling for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, the counseling came to an abrupt end. And my husband basically quit the counseling.
Okay.
But I talked to the pastor kind of separately, just less than 2 minutes, and asked if I could continue counseling with him, letting him know that my husband was no longer going to be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll have to get back to you on that. Well, a few days later, I basically got a message from somebody else saying, I need to go see a female counselor if I want to continue counseling.
Well, some pastors have that.
I feel a little rejected.
Well, some pastors have that as a policy, that they don't counsel women.
Yeah.
I was a founding elder of a church where that wasn't the pastor's policy. That was, excuse
me. Bless you.
That was the elder's policy. That was the deacon's policy.
Right.
You will not be counseling women. Because those are the situations where when pastors fall, more of them fall in that kind of situation than anywhere else. So we just eliminated the possibility.
Okay.
So it isn't personal against you, I would imagine. It's just something that, even when it's not the pastor, a lot of pastors have a philosophy of women should go to women counselors and men should go to men counselors. That's just a philosophy a lot of them have. So if somebody comes to them for help, a referral, they'll send the women to the woman psychologist that they trust and the men to the man psychologist they trust. So I don't see that as grounds for leaving the church at all. What do you guys think?
I just hear your hurt heart.
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of feel dropped. It almost, I'm wondering if you felt a lot of hope and expectation was riding on the pastor to help your marriage. And then,
because we've gone to several pastors for counseling. And so he counseled us for 5 months. And I'm kind of getting the same answer from all the other pastors. Basically, if you guys love God, then you guys will stop behaving this way.
So
but I feel like we need to get to core issues.
Well, this is what I'm wondering, Dee. It feels like you may need a game changer. Maybe try going to a real-life therapist out there. If you've had 5 pastors that have all come to the same conclusion, and then you guys stop, that's insanity to me. I would get really frustrated going and doing that over and over again and not really feeling like I have longevity. You guys invest a lot when you spend 5 months with somebody.
Yeah.
You want to find somebody who you can stay with. Now, I don't know if your husband just had a reaction to the pastor, or he's had a reaction to all five of the other pastors, or if maybe the pastors have just come to the end of where they're at, and they're gifting to help you guys. But there's help out there, my dear. Get with somebody who's a good marital counseling. We've got a bunch of them with New Life here. I'm sure we can help you out.
So then this would be my second question to you then. I believe in counseling. I've gone to counseling prior to even knowing my husband for things that happened in my childhood. And he kind of thinks I'm a counseling junkie. So whenever I say we need to go to counseling for our marriage because I feel like we're not going to make it, it's just another one of those, oh, gosh, she just wants to go talk again. How do I get my husband to go to counseling?
Well,
and I don't even want to make him go anymore.
Does your husband share the same alarm you share as to the state of the marriage?
No.
Okay, and that's part of the problem. You see, within a relationship, oftentimes there is one who is in sort of a frantic place. What you just described a moment ago where you said, I don't think we're going to make it. And so there's this sense of panic that you feel, or there's this sort of internal flailing that you feel. And your husband doesn't feel that. And so he's going to kind of begrudgingly go along, and he could be emotionally avoidant, emotionally detached. And so he doesn't feel like he has the same vested interest in you. Now, Sherry said something very important a few moments ago, and that is you, and I loved, by the way, Dee, what you said, I need to get with somebody who can help us find out the core issues. Now, when I was a pastor, I had no understanding of what I know today. So I did not know what the Bible, I did not know what core issues were, and I was frequently about, hey, you guys just need to do what the Bible says, and I was equally as naive. And so my point is I think you need to look at two things. I would go to a good marriage counselor, and I would ask the question, do I feel undue levels of alarm? And I would ask you to look in other areas of your life. Do you ever feel like you're panicky or very scared about other areas and catastrophe down the line for other areas of your life? Do you think that's true at all?
I'm a fairly nervous person. What makes me even more nervous about my marriage is that the pastor told us he didn't know if we were going to make it.
Yeah. Well, but then again, you just told us, what does he know, you know? And so you got to sort of evaluate and weigh that. But you can also sabotage the marriage by being nervous all the time and telling everybody the sky is falling. And so part of the journey for you perhaps would be to learn to be a little less anxious and nervous about stuff. And that would be cool if you could get into a couples therapist group and work on that.
Yeah, my sense with you, Dee, is that you've had some abandonment in the past, and that you've had people not come through for you either, and you've felt really alone and isolated, and feeling like and you need someone. Just like here we are, we're spending a few minutes with you on the phone, and we're kind of getting you. We get you. We'd like to go further if we could find out about your background and history. That's what you can get with one of our New Life counselors, with a good therapist that can help you find that out, and then invite your husband in. I if it was me, I would just go, Dee. Right now, I would just probably go as an individual and just go in, but someone who does some marital counseling as well, and then invite your husband to come in.
Okay, let's clarify an issue. What do you think about women going to male counselors?
Male therapists?
Male therapist, I mean.
I think there's a place for it. I've had times in my own journey that I've gone to females, and then I had a period of time where I was doing some work, daddy issues, where I really wanted the feedback of a man. And I went to, I actually went to two male therapists.
You can see, Mylon, you, just your demeanor, you would be able to really maybe be the only
dad
woman, only man that a woman has ever been able to trust or have appropriate boundaries with. I would hate for someone to miss that experience because of some philosophy of no women should ever be counseled by men.
Well, I think the churches oftentimes have extraordinary measures to prevent pastors from having emotional
problems.
And
I agree
problems.
With that. I think that's okay.
And there's a difference between a staff pastor who or a pastor of a church who may not have a lot of training as to these dynamics and perhaps isn't even highly aware of their own issues. Because
yeah.
where they get into trouble is when they don't know what their own issues are.
Right.
They end up buying in right. or overly empathizing with people, and then that's when they get in trouble.
Yeah.
So, I would even tell your pastor that you're worried and what your dilemma is and tell him that you're disappointed and you don't know what to do with that disappointment. But I think it would be great if you opened up the dialogue with him, and not even necessarily that you have to leave the church, but that you are just sad that it ended this way. And that's worth you talking to the pastor about, to just perhaps clear that air.
Yeah, very good. All right, glad you called us. I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I hope that will help you. And before we go to the next call, just remind everybody about Healing is a Choice workshop. The weekend is tomorrow. Starts tomorrow. So please call.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Please call. Come be part of it. It is life-changing. And maybe you've put it off and God's saying today, no more. I'm going to go.
Don't put off growth.
Don't put growth off. No, sir.
By the way, do you know what I say to people from Ojai?
What do you say?
Oh, hi.
Okay.
Da-dun-dun.
If you don't know, Mylan, a lot of people have a problem with pornography. He has a problem with
pornography. Corny.
He's corny, but we love him. Anyway.
We do love his corn.
Yeah. All right, let's go to James from Springfield, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hello, James.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
How's everyone doing today?
Doing great.
I'm just awesome. All right, Steve, I have a really awesome problem here. All right, about 2 years ago, I finally switched over, and I had actually changed jobs, and I'm now a certified personal fitness trainer.
Very good.
And, okay, what happened, Steve? As soon as I got my certification, I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to get clients. I'm going to have the health clubs calling me, knocking my door down. And for some reason, I stepped way outside of God's will.
Mm.
So for about 16 months, 18 months, I couldn't figure out why I had a couple of clients here, a couple of clients there, et cetera, et cetera. And so finally, about 2 months ago, I was finally, I finally sat down and said, okay, God, I have to step aside here.
Mm-hmm.
My shoulders are not as big as yours. Help me out. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, about 6 months ago, I'm sorry, 6 weeks ago, all right, I finally stepped into an awesome personal training club right out here in Springfield. And in 6 weeks, I have done more than any one personal trainer has done up here in 12 months.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, sir. So,
well, call us when you have a problem then.
Well, actually, Steve, my question is this.
Yeah.
Okay. How can I keep, okay, my really spiritual and awesome gift here God's given me and still stay humble? I'm having a problem there.
With humility?
Okay. Yes, I am. And here's why. I want to go back and have all those people see, okay, who had fired me or terminated me. I wanted everybody there to see how good I'm actually doing. And yet, somewhere in Scripture, I know somewhere it says you can't actually do that.
James.
So my question is, where do I find
James,
it?
My friend, you are so hungry for approval. You're really hungry.
You know that in 5 seconds.
Honey, yeah. We see it. Yeah, you are so hungry. And what is that hole for approval about?
I'm sorry. What that hole is, okay, it goes way back into childhood.
All right.
Always needing approval, et cetera, et cetera. I'm actually working through that right now, but there's still a little piece of me who wants to go back and say, hey, you fired me or terminated me. Well, guess what I'm doing right now? And I know in Scripture it says it somewhere, you have to be humble.
How are you working that through right now, James?
Well, I'm actually going through counseling and everything, right? My counselor's really great. And yet, really, there are still times when I'll think about something or I'll read something and I'm like, if only I could back and tell blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And I know in Scripture I'm not supposed to do that, but I just want to find out where and how I should stay humble.
Okay, I want to help you do that, all right?
Uh-huh, absolutely.
I want you to astro-project yourself. That's just a word I make up.
Okay.
Astro-project yourself 2 years in the future.
Okay.
And let's say that the economy mm-hmm. has taken a downturn. And now you have no clients.
Mm.
Now you really look like a failure, because not only were you a failure to them before, mm-hmm. you had everything going for you, and you blew it, would maybe be their conclusion. So we don't want to be prideful when everything's going well, because in this world, things don't always go well forever, and you have no guarantee that that gym is even going to be there tomorrow. It could burn down tonight. So you want to think through these things, and you want people to hear about your success. If it's something that's renowned, you want them to hear about it rather than you be the one that has a need to share it. So you got to work on that need down in there, and we'll help you with that need in just a minute. When we get back from this break. All right. Okay. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Okay, so we've got some thoughts about James and how he could fix this void or this need. Do you want to hear about that, James?
Oh, sure, please.
Okay. Who wants to
I have an idea. It's kind of out there, James.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of going to rock your world a little bit. You ready for adventure?
Absolutely.
All right. And I'm serious about this. I want you to call us back in 6 months, and I want you to tell us how you're doing. This is what I suggest, and I wouldn't suggest it unless I've done it myself. I suggest you get into a small group, a healing group. Maybe it might be through Celebrate Recovery or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And what my challenge to you is I would like you to go every week, and I want you to bring your brokenness. I do not want you to talk about anything that you're doing that's good or wonderful or amazing. Mm. And I want you to go and I want you to bring your brokenness. It is going to be hard. In fact, there may be some times where you don't even know what to say, because it is going to be so different for you to bring your brokenness. You so long for approval that you don't even know how much that leaks out of you. It just comes out of you without even trying. And it's because that wound is so great. But when we bring our brokenness, eventually what happens is others around us either reject us or they start loving on us because we're real. We're fleshy. We're not working so hard to try to be up or look up or sound up. We're just being real. And eventually what happens is we begin to heal that hole in our heart because we find out that people like us not because of the wonderful wizardry we're doing or the training we're doing. We're finding that they like us in spite of that because we're able to bring our real self to them.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be work for you, my friend, because you're going to want to slip back into the wonderful world of
awesomeness.
Yeah.
See, James, even the fact that you use words like awesome and absolutely, there's this extremism I'm hearing inside of you. And along with that is, in some cases, if we've been hurt a lot as a child, we teeter, it's like a teeter-totter, and we tip all the way over to the other side of, I must be all good, and I want people to see me in an all good state. Now, what Steve did before the break was he introduced you to the possibility of an all bad place. And if you were in that all bad place, you know, what would you do with that? And I have a feeling it would be very hard for you to accept what Sherry is saying. Well, some days and years I'm at an up place, and in some days and years I'm at a low place. And can I live that integrated life, or do I have to always be at a place where I'm just, everything is firing on all eight cylinders, and I just dated myself, and everything's awesome? Or can I accept
that? Sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting to have to maintain that. But now, sometimes people who are very obsessed on a very people approving of them and seeing them at very high levels, that tells us, as Sherry started off the beginning of the call with, how deeply we were wounded. And what Sherry is saying is we need to bring those wounds into relationship instead of just always showing the good side of myself, showing everybody the positive side. And to say, you know, I hurt. Sometimes I'm afraid. Sometimes I'm afraid I can't maintain this momentum. What happens if things change?
Or sometimes I may have stepped out of God's will, which if I was working with you, I would challenge that all day long. Because you probably had a dad that expected a lot of you.
Well, actually, guys, it had been my mother who always expected a lot out of me.
Right.
My father was very laid back.
All right,
and
so very it was mom.
It was my mother.
Oh,
everything
my
had
goodness,
to be perfect.
James.
Everything had to be just so. There was no margin for error, period, end of sentence. And
hey,
from
James.
That,
wow.
Yeah.
She set you up for the way you are right now. You know, she really did. But, you know, once a year, I come up with something profound. I only get one shot at it every year, and I want to tell you, I want to apply my profound insight to you right now, okay?
Okay.
As human beings, we often try to look good to people here on Earth, and then in our isolation, we try to connect with God.
Wow.
Whereas it should be just the reverse. We ought to be trying to look really good to God and trying to connect with other people here on earth. Because if you're just doing it for the praise of man, you don't have a mission from God. If you're doing it for God's approval, you're not only going to be filled up with clients, but in the other parts of your life, you're going to be on mission for God. And that's what you're going to care about. And I think people get messed up with two things, comparison to other people and worry about what other people think. I think those are two major life wall battles that you've got to get over, and you really need to get over both those, comparing yourself to others and worrying about what other people think. So you go out there and you lift weights for Jesus. You do it to the glory of God.
Amen.
While you try to connect with those people you'd like to show off to.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Glad you called. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to newlife.com. That's where you can find out all about how to give. You can go there and hear the program over and over again. We have resources that you can get. It's a great website, newlife.com. I'd encourage you just to give it a little visit. And there's a whole bank of resources there that I think you can benefit from. All right, we'll take a break. Come back for the second half of New Life Live right after this. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham, and let's go to Vanessa from Ventura, California. She listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How could we help?
I actually just have a dilemma. And I just preface it by saying that I don't want to offend anybody out there who's listening who may be homosexual or gay, but I have a question about Christians and them being able to maintain their Christian integrity and yet be friends and hang out with extremely flamboyant homosexuals. And the reason I ask that question is because and this is where I didn't want to offend anybody, but I love them. They're funny. They're great to hang out with. But there's this kind of dilemma inside of me that says, well, should I be hanging out with them and not preaching to them? Or should mm-hmm. Is it wrong to just hang with them all the time?
Okay. All right. What do you think? Do you have to make a statement with...
I'm wondering, I just would ask you just a simple question first, Vanessa. I love the fact that you are loving them as people, okay?
Well, they're great. I mean, you know.
And so I'm like, do you love others that way? Or is it more just the homosexual?
But, you know, they're just... And this is where I didn't want to offend anybody. I don't want to put them in a box. But the people that I know, they're designers and they're artists and they're passionate and they're full of life. And they are wonderful people to hang out with. And they know that I'm Christian, and I know that they're gay. And some of them claim to know Christ, but most of them, have walked away or don't believe because they feel the condemnation and the judgment. So,
I think it is great for you to have a friendship with somebody who's homosexual.
How do I like handle myself? I mean, because there's things that they display affection. Those things I don't agree with,
right.
But
they may be the only normal, you might be the only normal Christian that, that they ever really get to talk to. And, you know, I lived here in Laguna, and I had some gay friends, and it was, you know, it wasn't real friendly, but when I'd see them, they'd see me, you know, she'd want to hug, I'd hug, I didn't feel any need to preach, she knew what I was all about, and I just felt like I was kind of representing Jesus.
Okay.
Is it kind of their freedom that you're celebrating? I mean, have you grown up in a pretty rigid home, or
yeah, maybe that's it, but they're just so full of life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not to say that they don't suffer from some depression here and there, and they don't have their issues, but yeah, it's they're just out, I guess they're just out there, you know.
Vanessa, how old are you?
28.
Okay. And I would ask you the question, do you feel safe in their midst?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now that's an important question.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we want to hang out in a group that feels safe, because if I was to hang out with some heterosexual guys, I might not feel safe.
Yeah,
so I would ask you, have you had any traumas associated with hanging out with heterosexual guys?
Not traumatic traumas, no. Players, maybe, you know, the typical player type guys, but okay. Not trauma, you know.
Okay. You mean guys that haven't respected your boundaries sexually?
Yeah, here and there. I mean, I don't know any woman who hasn't experienced that from time to time. But
okay, so how does that make you feel when you're around guys that want to take advantage? Or
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Okay, so here's the deal. Then I can be with this group of people and be safe because I know that's not going to happen. And that may be, you may be speaking about your own freedom that you feel in that group, as opposed to if you were with a mixed crowd of people that were not gay, and you know now all of a sudden there's a threat, or I'm a Christian, I want to maintain my boundaries and my Christian commitments, and all of a sudden I know they could be hammering on me all the time. I'm just asking you to ask the question, why is this such a wonderful place to be? And I'm saying I would examine some of your issues of feeling safe, and that it's a lot about you, not just about them.
Well, and also, too, it's growing up in the Christian in community that says, you know, this is, I mean, we know it's a sin and things like that. But, and I'm not saying this is the only group of friends I have. I have several groups of types of different people, you know, very eclectic. But I've always been kind of told that, you know, gays are sinners and you shouldn't hang out with them. And I'm thinking, well, I know Jesus hung out with sinners, but I do enjoy their company as well. I mean, it's not like I'm just hanging out with tax collectors. I mean, I actually enjoy their company.
Adult Vanessa making a statement against her family of origin, and you're becoming you. And so it's important for you to learn to become you and to find your own balance and equilibrium.
Yeah.
But we're also getting what Sherry said. You are reacting. There is a reaction inside of you. I was told bad, 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 bad. And I'm finding myself finding interest or enjoyment. And so that's an opposite reaction. So I'm asking you to be aware of the reactions, the swinging reactions within yourself. That's all.
And also, I was listening earlier too, and you were talking about, you know, going to you wouldn't go to a wedding if somebody was gay, and I do believe that. And so, am I misrepresenting myself if I love these people and they're good friends, but yet if they wanted to get married, which I don't believe in, and you know what I mean?
Sure,
I feel like
because
it's such a dichotomy.
Well, I know, and so you're divided. My answer is yes, they're not seeing all of you. They might not be seeing all of you. They're just seeing the part of you that enjoys the fun and the freedom, and the freedom from rigidity and restriction, and that feels safe from being accosted sexually. And I'm saying, okay, maybe they don't see all of you. And they would say, I would think, you know, Vanessa would come to my wedding. And then you don't, and they don't go, I don't get Vanessa.
And this is just the opposite of what we often counsel people, because we're often saying, well, they know, you know, the person knows how you feel, and so you don't need to make some big statement to clarify. But here, like Mylon says, they may not know all of you. You are with them, and this might become an opportunity for them to see that there is that other dimension versus like we usually say and say, look, you don't have to do this.
See, Jesus hung out with people, but he wasn't opinionless.
Right.
When he was
when he was with
the person caught in adultery, he said, "Go and sin no more."
Yeah.
And he was kind, he was gentle, he was loving, he was restorative, but he didn't endorse what she did. Okay, even though he skillfully got rid of all the people that wanted to accuse and stone her.
But do you think he liked, you know, even like Mary Magdalene or somebody like a prostitute? I mean, do you think he liked to be around them? I mean, obviously not in their sin, but I mean...
First of all...
He loved people.
First of all, Sherry might want to clarify the Mary Magdalene prostitute controversy.
Well, what's interesting is I just went on the Israel trip and I did a monologue of Mary Magdalene. And when I was studying her life, I discovered that there's nowhere in Scripture that points to the fact that she had had an adulterous affair or she was a prostitute. What it did say is that she had demons, and he released her from seven demons. So she was demon-possessed. Did Jesus love her? Yes. He loved women, and he loved men, and he touched a lot of women and men's lives. But just like Mylon said, he didn't do it without opinion. I thought that was really wisely said.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So he could hang out with them and have his opinions. I mean, my friends know I'm Christian. I mean, they know that. That's not a secret. But that's my question is, you know, can you really integrate your Christianity and your life and who you are? I mean, I know you can't. But
like,
I mean,
how do I talk about the hard subjects with them? How do I talk about the fact that I'm actually
talk about it all the time? I mean,
how do you be real with not? You are compartmentalizing yourself. You, like Mylon said, you're only bringing one part. And my concern is because I think Mylon picked up on something else, which I would have to agree with him. You kind of are compartmentalizing yourself with heterosexual men, too, because they're scary. They've hurt you in some ways. And so you're bringing these parts of yourself to these different people groups. And I'm like, where are you all of Vanessa? Where do you feel like you can go and bring all of yourself?
Are you saying, like, maybe if I was really 100%
yes
with my gay friends that they would say, well, we don't want to hang out with you then?
Well, I don't know what they'd say, but for you to just be able to start saying, you know what, I really do struggle with this because I love you, but I struggle with what the Bible says in it, and I don't even know how to have these conversations, but I want to talk with you about it, because what do you think about what God said in Romans when he said that this is sin? I mean, that's being real. That's saying, I love you. I'm going to be here and hang out with you, but I'm not going to avoid God's word in the midst of doing that.
Great.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. I'm sure it's wonderful to work with someone so accepting and loving as you are, and I really appreciate you being with us. She didn't have a response to that, so we're done. 1-800-229-3000. That's the number to call if you'd like to join us. We'd love for you to be here. We'll be back after this.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Renee from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hello, Renee. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How's everyone?
Doing good. Well today. Good, thank good. You.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I just want to say first off that I really, really appreciate and love your ministry. I am a monthly contributor. It's a small amount, but it's the best I can do right now. So,
well, thanks, Renee.
I'm sorry?
I said thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. That. You're welcome. So and I'm sure I speak for a lot of people when I say that your ministry is truly a blessing.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm calling, and I started off thinking about two different things that are really, I think, all related, but trying to think of the best way to phrase this. Well, I've dealt with a lot of disappointment in church leadership over the years, and right now I'm not a part of a local assembly.
Okay.
And I grew up born and raised in church, as I always say, jokingly, but it's true. And my parents and my extended family all poured a lot into me and my siblings and my cousins, and we all, you know, were part of the same church. And so I have a great history of being, you know, part of a church and enjoying church and, you know, living that life. But as I've grown up to become an adult, I've experienced some church hurt. And again, been very disappointed in church leadership. So right now, I've just kind of strayed away from going on a, you know, regular basis and being part of a local assembly. So I guess the first question would be, how can I get past that pain, past that disappointment, and I guess reconnect or find my way back?
You know, that Renee, that's a great, great question. And sometimes we can perhaps have a string of bad luck. That is, it is really sad in our culture today. How many pastors fall from, you know, morally, ethically, et cetera, et cetera. And that is disappointing. But there are other ways that we can find ourselves disappointed in leadership, and it's kind of our own fault. There's two ways that leadership can disappoint us. It's our fault or their fault. And what I mean by our fault is when sometimes we walk into a church and we so idealize or put a person on a pedestal, and then we follow them as though they're on this pedestal. It is an idealization of the individual. And then when it turns out that they are a mere mortal, or when they make a mistake, or when they fail, which all leaders do, we find ourselves deeply, and to use your words, very disappointed. And then all of a sudden, we realize we're disappointed compared to the place where I had idealized them. But if we walk into a church and we assess leadership based upon the reality of who and what they are, mm-hmm. And we develop a healthy view of who and what they are, then we have less likelihood for disappointment because I realize they are just a mere mortal like me. And I'm wondering which of those two categories you might fall in.
Well, it's not the pedestal. I mean, I can honestly say I don't put people on the pedestal, and I don't hold people to some ridiculous standard that I couldn't even live up to because I'm human too. So it's not that. It's not, for me, it hasn't been that, oh, they're human and they make mistakes, because we all do. But it's been deep integrity type issues that, it's beyond just making a mistake. It's more of the revelation of a lifestyle that's being led, so preaching one thing and actually walking something different.
So that's why we have to go into a church. Like, I go to a church where I have watched the pastor for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
See, so when I walk into that church, and I know he's been the pastor of that church for 30 years, I know that there's been a stability and a consistency in that person that allows me to say, okay, I'm going to sit here under that person's leadership because I know that over 30 years, that's how what they've done well. They haven't had these.
Yeah.
Okay. Which means I've done my due diligence before I invest into that particular church.
Okay.
And yet, when there's been a breach of trust, mm-hmm. there's a challenge mm-hmm. there. And
sure.
Renee, this is Sherry. I was married to a pastor. So, I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, talk about, getting what you're talking about here. Mm-hmm. I don't only get it. I lived it. I was on the front row seat to that. Having been married to a pastor who had sexual addiction issues, pornography affairs, it was very painful because mm-hmm. my world came tumbling down.
Right.
And so I had to figure out how I was going to eat. That was either going to, Satan basically was going to use it, either take me out of the fold, or I had to figure out how to fold back in.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you're out of the fold because of a wound. That's exactly where the enemy wants you. He wants to mortally wound you at that place. And you are going to have to do what Mylan just talked about, is you're going to have to figure out, you're going to have to go in and heal that wound, talk about it, open it up with someone that's safe, where you can go, and then you're going to have to walk back into another tribe. When I first started going back into churches, do you know how many churches I went to when I would see the deacons and the pastor, and I sat there in my woundedness and went, sure, you're probably got this issue, and that's hidden, and that hidden. Do you hear my brokenness? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they could hear my thoughts, it would have been like, I would have probably not walked in the door.
Yeah.
But it was that woundedness that had yet to be healed. But then once I found a pastor and I started asking people about his life, like Mylan talked about, I trusted these people's relationship, and I actually started healing. So I've had actually two or three churches that have been a place of healing for me. And I am now back in a tribe, and I'm moving forward. So it is all you, baby. It's
plus,
either going to take
you. Plus you hang out with us.
I do hang out with you guys. But I just, my fear for you is that you'd be mortally wounded. And why? It's really just a plight of the enemy.
Yeah. And it's like, I do know that. Intellectually, I know that. But it's just.
It's a heart issue.
Exactly.
Heal your heart, girl. Go get it healed.
All right. Glad you called. What are we going to send her for that?
Toxic Faith. Wouldn't that be
faith
a good one?
Be great. Yep. Yeah. I love that book.
I wonder who wrote it. Steve.
Years ago. You know what? That book has given me such joy because I've had a lot of people say, yeah, I got out of this church, and then somebody said, read that book, and it just was reassuring to me. Let me tell you what's reassuring to us, and that is when you support this ministry, it reassures us that we're going to get to stay on the air and be there right for you. Help us this summer. We have a matching gift of $100,000. Somebody has said up to $100,000, everybody that gives a dollar, I'll give a dollar. So as Sherry has pointed out in previous programs, it's
double your bucks. I was going to write a check yesterday, but I actually am glad I'm going to do it today because my check's going to be worth double. I'm like, call today. It's a great day for giving.
It really is. You really do have an impact beyond what you normally would. And so please help us access that $100,000. That is a very large amount of money for this ministry. And I just pray that God will bless you for it. Also, pray for us. We need all the prayer that we can get. And you just can't pray too much for New Life. We have a few things. If you are in the Philadelphia area, starting tomorrow, we've got the New Life Weekend, and we would love for you to become a part of that. It really is life-changing. And then Sherry's going to do Women in the Battle in September, and then we'll have the Lose It for Life in November. So a lot of things for you, including counselors and resources. Check out New Life. .com. It's a brand new website. We've got a new website there, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. From all of us here at New Life, have a great day. God bless you, and we'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.